bring greetings this morning in the name of Christ, and want to welcome each one here this morning. What do you think about when you see the word wherefore and therefore in the scriptures? What is the first thought? Anyone?
An answer or a continuance.
Okay. Anything else? There you are. I couldn't place you. Stop and pay attention. Okay. Anything else? You have any thoughts over here?
And cause and effect.
Cause and effect. That's right. I'm sorry? Okay. Past tense, present tense. That's right. Do you have any idea how many times wherefore is used in the book of Hebrews? Anyone want to make a wild guess?
42.
That's a little on the high side, I think, but anyone else want to guess?
25.
It's used 12 times in the book of Hebrews. Now, that's just the word wherefore. Now, what about therefore? It's close to that. Used 15 times. So, 27 times the word therefore or wherefore is used in the book of Hebrews. And I don't know if I'm smart or not, but I kind of committed myself to look at these words and see in what scripture is around these words and try to preach on that. If they only go one time, if I only take one at a time, it's going to be 27 messages. I thought I was going to take two today, and I didn't even get through one. I'm just going to call it quits. The Greek word used here as far as therefore or wherefore, they were kind of interchangeable. They were translated into a lot of different words. But kind of in the book of Hebrews, a lot of times it was in light of this, because of, which is cause and effect, for this cause or for this reason. So now I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 1 and read over to verse 4 of chapter 2. Why don't we all stand for the reading of the scripture? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, said he, is speaking of God, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, to which of the angels hath he said at any time, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son? And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, And the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Okay, you may be seated. Where is the first word found, therefore or wherefore, in this portion? Did you catch that? Did you notice that?
2:1
No, there's one before that.
Nine.
Verse 9, that's right, of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. And that was the one that, kind of was, I thought was just, just a short verse. And the more I thought about it, the more I studied that, the more I read that, the more it just seemed that God was speaking. So God, in verse 1, says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God was very faithful in speaking to his prophets so that they could speak to his children or to his people. He sent his prophets to give direction and telling the people what they must do to have God's blessing on their kingdom or life. So God used prophets. God used men to speak his word in times of old. Time after time again, the kings received instruction, received direction from this prophet that kind of showed up out of nowhere. I mean, did you ever notice how often it talks about the man of God showing up right after this king or this individual made a wrong choice? But they had also received instructions how to go before they ever got there. One man called it an ambiguous prophet, and that is an obscure man that just shows up here, shows up there. That's how he described these prophets. They were thought I had that definition. Now I lost that. But just think of Saul when in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, when he was facing the Philistines in front of him, and Samuel had told him that he is going to be there within 7 days. You remember that story? He's going to be there within 7 days, and within that 7 days, the pressure became great in the life of Saul to do something. And Saul was told not to sacrifice until Samuel comes. And then Samuel will sacrifice. It was wrong for Saul to sacrifice. And at the very last day, it almost seemed like almost at dusk, Saul said, I have to sacrifice. I have to do something. The people are leaving. The people are going home. They are leaving me. They're deserting me. I have to have an army. So he decided to sacrifice. The way the scriptures kind of read, he wasn't barely done till Samuel showed up. Why couldn't he wait? He didn't trust God. That's basically the bottom line. Samuel shows up and gives him the message that because of his disobedience, his kingdom will be given to another whose heart is perfect towards God. He called his prophets in various ways and manners. Some he called directly, like Samuel. Jeremiah, Isaiah were another ones that were called directly by God. And then we have also some like Elisha that was called through the call of Elijah. Now, I have learned to appreciate Samuel's call by God. Within the last 2 months, I have learned to appreciate that a lot more than I used to. And I'll give you a story that happened to me at work. We were down in the little town of Rosie, which is between Oil Trough and Batesville. And earlier, maybe half a year before that, I had gone out and looked at this job, and the man didn't do anything. And then one day he called me, and I had never met him. One day he called me and said he would like to put the gutter on. So I said, okay, we'll go out there and do it. The day we went out there, it was kind of rainy, kind of cold, kind of dreary. And we were working there, and the cell service there was very marginal. So I just left my phone in the truck. And we had put all the gutter up, and we're working on the downspouts. And I heard this, and I don't know if I can actually describe how it sounded like it. I have to put something in my mouth. Ernie! Ernie! That's kind of the way it sounded like. And I looked around, and Peanut was down at the other end of the building, and of course he had screws in his mouth, so it made sense that he would sound that way. I looked down there, nah, he wasn't even looking at me. And I dismissed it, so I just heard something. So I went on, and a little bit later again, Ernie! Ernie! And then it said, come over to the window. Well, you know, there was nobody around except us two. I went over to the window, and I thought maybe the man fell. Maybe he wasn't dressed properly. Maybe he was just peeking around the doors. And I didn't know where he was. And I had no idea where this voice was coming from. And I went over there, and he said, I sent you a text. Okay. So I went out, and I'm trying to think what all happened there. I know I looked into the window trying to find this voice, and I couldn't see it. There was just nothing there. But it was definitely speaking to me. So finally, I went out to my truck, and he wondered where we were going to put the downspouts, and it was exactly where I was going to. That's where he wanted them, which we had talked about it earlier. But I still had no idea where this voice was coming from. And finally, Peanut said, well, right there's the speaker. It was sitting on the windowsill in the window, and that's inside the window, and that's where that voice was coming. But it sounded so muffled, and just you couldn't tell where it came from. But I wondered, is that the way Samuel felt? As he heard the voice of God, and he went to Eli and said, you called me. No, I didn't. Well, yeah, you did. No, I didn't. Go back and sleep. He went back and, Samuel. And that's happened 4 times. Till finally, the third time, Eli said, that's the Lord. So God calls people in different, called prophets in different ways. So I just thought I'd give you that little story to give you I don't know, to give you my experience, it was just, it kind of made it more plain why Samuel went the different times to Eli, because there was nobody else around. One thing these prophets had all in common is found in 2 Peter 2, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, these prophets, some tried to walk away, some tried to run away. Jonah ran away, thought he was running away. He wanted to be free. Trouble dogged him all the way, all the time he was out at sea, whether he was in the boat or in the fish's belly. It wasn't until he was willing to go to Nineveh to preach the message of repentance from God that God was able to bless him. Jeremiah was another man. He had a message from God. He was called by God to be a spokesman to the children of Israel and Judah, I think. One day he had spoke to Jeremiah chapter 20. He had spoken to Pasher, I think is the man's name. And I didn't really search who this man was, but he was obviously a political figure of some sorts. And this Pasher had him arrested, put him into the stocks. Chapter 20, it tells him he was put into stocks. Verse 2. And Pasher smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. This man was put into stocks right by the gate of the house of the Lord, where everybody that would come in to worship God, could see this Jeremiah. And he was so severely persecuted that finally he said, I am not going to say anything anymore. I am going to let these people go. Like you say sometimes in Dutch, lest die beze ding agier. That's kind of the way he felt. Just let them go. Because they hated him. They hated his words. They didn't accept God's message, blamed Jeremiah for the dire message of God, and they tried to get rid of the messenger instead of letting the messenger change their heart. But as he made that statement, he said, I'm not going to say anything. As he decided that, made that decision, that word of God started building pressure in his life, and he couldn't help himself. Finally, he said, I have to say something. You know, that was God's prophets speaking to the children of Israel. The scriptures say in Hebrews, that in these last days, Jesus spoke to us. Now, I didn't get very far into the words that Jesus said, but I would like to look at the first therefore, which is found in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Maybe we'll read verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Christ Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And because of this, God gave him the oil of gladness, joy in knowing his Father, joy in being obedient to the will of the Father, and having God's testimony that he is well pleased with his Son. So how do we find ourselves this morning? Do we love righteousness and hate iniquity? How is it with us? Do we secretly have a hankering to go out and enjoy all the things that the world has to offer us? And the reason we don't is because what would people think? Is that the only reason we don't go out there and enjoy ourselves? Do we feel cheated because we are restrained or held back by God? Or is there a revulsion in our hearts toward all evil and iniquity? You know, I often have to think of the story that Phil Mass used to say about their dog. I don't know how many of you remember that story of them taking a walk, and I think they went back this road, and their dog was going along with them, and somewhere this dead animal was on the road, and the dog came up and just kind of rolled himself into this dead animal. And then he wanted to come up and have Phil love him. And he said, it was just a revulsion and it stank so bad. So how is it with us? Does the world stink to us? Do we hate evil and love righteousness? Now, I know that we are not necessarily on equal grounds with Jesus Christ as far as him being a part of the Godhead, but Jesus is our brother. And following the example of Jesus in loving righteousness and hating all evil, God will bless us with gladness in knowing the God of righteousness is pleased with our life, giving us joy beyond compare. God would surely bless us as he blessed Jesus. You know, one reason Jesus was so beautiful to those around him was not because of his physical beauty. In fact, if we read Isaiah 53:2, it tells us, he shall grow up as a tender plant. Lost my place here. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But his inner beauty of love and gracious life, righteousness, drew men like flies to a honeypot. They did. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because God hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The oil of joy for mourning. Have you experienced that this morning? Are you experiencing the oil of gladness from God himself because you love righteousness? If we go back to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 and 11, verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. A thought I read somewhere is, Christ's beauty is within in this verse. He is making our heart beautiful. He is making my life joyful in him. He is giving me a beautiful godly character as we give ourselves to him. The fruit of the Spirit is radiating forth from a life of a child of God. Now verse 11 says, now this is all from within, making us beautiful from within. Verse 11 says, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. The beauty of God will also show himself on the outside of our people. Have you ever noticed how some people are beautiful because of their character? I have. You know, we get so mixed up. We forget about our character and we try to doll up or make ourselves pretty on the outside. Our physical bodies. This morning I got up and my back was so stiff about couldn't bend down. We are getting older and stiffer, grayer, more wrinkled, have scars, sore. You know, our beauty is only skin deep. Really, it is. Let's remember that. If we have any beauty at all, it needs to come from within. But there are some people that, you know, they are so concerned about their outside that their inside is completely barren and unfruitful and kind of ugly. Now, I don't know how this lady was. I met her one time. But the other week we were over at another job and we got there in the morning and this lady came out. She was getting ready for work and she came out there and I don't know what she was trying to cover up, but she was all painted up. I mean, painted up to just unbelievable. And you could see the paint was almost so thick that it cracked almost. Maybe that was the wrinkles. I don't know. Maybe she was trying to cover up her wrinkles. But she wasn't beautiful as far as her painting goes. My friends, our bodies will wear out. We are not going to continue to be beautiful and young-looking all our lives. Let's work on our character. Make it beautiful in the godly sort of way. Let's worry less about our physical beauty and work on our character beauty. When God comes into our heart, when Jesus comes into our heart, He will make us new from the inside out. You know, our bodies, as it were, will go on looking just like they did. They will go on looking as if they are wearing out, because that's exactly what's happening. They are wearing out. And God is much, much more concerned about our character beauty than He is about our physical beauty. If you don't believe it, let's look at a word of Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 29 and 30. These are the words of Jesus. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if their right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Have you ever seen a man or a woman with only one eye, the eyeball completely gone? Have you seen that? I have. It's not a beautiful picture, physically. But God is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, that is better and be saved than it is to have a beautiful face and be unsaved. And lose our soul. Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This morning, as we live our life, as we live from day to day, what is our consuming passion as we look at our own life? Is it physical beauty? Is it this thing of trying to make us beautiful on the outside? Or is it trying to somehow love righteousness, hate iniquity, and allow God to bless us with a beautiful character? A beautiful character that expresses itself on the outside. I have 8 of them here, and there are I know there's a lot more. But gracious words, the words that flow out of our mouth as we speak words day by day, are they gracious? A beautiful character will speak gracious words to his fellow people. We also have peaceful ways. We're not always abrasive. We're not always there pushing our own point. We're not there to cause division and try to just do everything we can to part people. We have peaceful ways. Our ways are ways of peace. We are peacemakers. We have loving hearts. These are ways that show itself on the outside. We become unselfish. We're not so much concerned about our own life and comfort that we are about others, to help them. We serve others. We become a life of, we have a life of service. These are, again, these are manifestations of a beautiful character. We also have a non-conform dress. Now, the reason I say that is, I don't know how many of you read well, now I don't know. It was in the Beside the Still Waters, but this brother was brother and sister were traveling, and they were actually at the airport, and these women were other side of the, sitting across from them, and he said they were very immodestly dressed. And just out of the blue, this woman that was very immodestly dressed said, talking to the woman that was modestly dressed, she said, "You are beautiful." And the man said he was taken aback, and he couldn't figure out why in the world would she say that. And didn't really stick until later. He was at Walmart, and out across this aisle, he saw another modestly beautiful dressed woman, and he said it was just like, she was beautiful. He didn't even know who she was, I don't think. He didn't say who she was, but she was beautiful because she was portraying a godly modesty. You know, non-resistance is another one that will show itself on the outside. Non-resistance. Returning good for evil. That is so hard. It is so hard to do outside of the work of God in our life. So where do you find yourself? Where do I find myself? You know, goodness of God shows itself in our life as well. The goodness of God. Now, 1 Peter 3, verse 4, 3 and 4 says, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Now, this is spoken in relation to our sisters. But I would like to suggest this, that this also applies to us as men. If our hearts are hankering after the things of the world, it will show itself on the outside. And it will not be the hidden man of the heart. Our bodies, remember, our bodies are getting older. Our bodies are wearing out. Our bodies are getting... Well, you know, again, there are people that have struggled with sickness, physical sickness of cancer, and it did a horrible work on their body. But as they continued to get closer and closer to their at the end of life, it seemed like their spirit was renewed day by day, and they became more beautiful because of their devotion to God, their godly character. And that is what I'd like to encourage all of us, that we would cultivate a godly character and forget about our physical bodies, trying to make them beautiful. So, yeah, let's not spend a lot of time in painting ourselves up. You know, there are folks that go out and they get a tan. I mean, you know, why? I'd like to ask you why. There are folks that go out and do their nails. I mean, again, why? There are folks that pluck eyebrows. Again, why? Where are we trying to draw attention to? Is it to our character or to our bodies? Our bodies will go to the grave. You know, we have all kinds of ways to show that we are wanting to draw attention to ourselves. May we crucify that and may we crucify that tendency, that desire to portray and flaunt our beauty, physical beauty, and work on the godly character of what God desires to give us. These are the results of salvation from Christ in our heart. And if we desire God to bless our lives, we need to follow Christ and allow Him to fill us with His beauty. Let's kneel for prayer.